RadioInfluence.com.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Frankly, snowed in.
Snowed in or snowed in?
You know, both, I guess. I'm a little snowed in, though. We got hit with a little bit of a surprise storm here last night. It was actually a blizzard for a while.
Yeah, you guys got it hard up there in the Northeast with that. We had really nasty. Listen, let's be honest. It has been cold here in the South. It's like 40 degrees outside. Not okay. And you guys, we had rain, but you guys got that snow like out of nowhere. It was chaos.
Yeah, no. And everybody from the city down to the local municipalities, nobody was ready for it. It was the roads were awful. And it caused a lot of trouble for me personally. I say that's for damn sure. And then my snowblower is crapped out on me.
So that's why Frank sounds a little bit tinny and off today. Not his normal, clear, crisp, professional audio-like self. But he's here, which is important.
That's right. I'm staying home. I'm doing this at home. And later in the day, Lauren and I are taking off to Pennsylvania. So not doing the live show tonight. So this is my broadcasting fix today.
Oh, with wow. Tracy. That's great.
Yeah.
So what are you going to PA for? Fun?
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully.
Good. Very good.
No, good stuff. I'll tell you all about it on Monday. It's going to be I already started an email thread to myself about all the things that happened over the weekend so I can put together a big assessment.
You're so organized, Frank.
Sometimes I think ahead. Other times I kick myself for not thinking ahead.
We have a lot to talk about today, and a lot of it is going to be theorizing and sort of like, you know, our opinions. There are some people, I get tweets all the time lately, oh, just subscribe to your podcast, which is freaking amazing. I actually had a lot of people come to me from your show. I don't know which one it was, Frank, where, you know, I guess a lot of people didn't know who I was and like are like, oh, I came from Frank. And I'm like, wow, that's great.
Wow, the reverse has happened once?
The reverse happened, yeah.
Wow, the reverse happened. That's rare. That's rare.
But it's very welcomed. I'm glad to have new people on board.
Well, they're all good.
So let's get into it, shall we?
Yes.
Okay. We do just, as we were sitting here, kind of going over what we were going to talk about, a judge, Trump-appointed federalist judge, I might add, ruled that Jim Acosta's press pass should be reinstated immediately.
Yeah.
I ordered the government to reinstate the pass.
And this was a judge that was appointed by Trump.
Yes, it was.
So everybody out there... you remember, you know how I'm a big fan of history. I know many people out there are. You remember that time in Nazi Germany when Adolf Hitler kicked out a flailing toad of a journalist, I guess, who puts all of his personal act ahead of everybody else's work, and he revoked these press privileges, and then one of the judges that Hitler appointed defied Hitler and said no. Everybody remember that? Remember
no.
That since we're living in Nazi Germany? I
do you I, really? Is it? I don't remember
no,
that, Frank.
No,
I know. No.
This is so unbelievable. Unbelievable what we're looking through. And people with this act that we're living in a fascist country. It's unbelievable that people could see this happen and still go on with that act that we're living in an oppressive time.
Well, you know, it's funny that I don't think a lot of people look at it that way. And you've done this over and over and over again. And it's brilliant. And I love every time you do it. And it's hard to grasp what you're saying, like, unless you really think about it. So can you do me a favor? Just break down that reverse fascism sort of thing. Like, explain to us, like, the left thinks that we're fascist. And here's why that can't possibly be true. And it's very outside the box, and I love it. So go for it.
I like playing up to that whole the whole remember stuff, the member berries little approach, because it started, obviously, we're talking about all the pre-election doomsaying that Donald Trump was going to show up onto the scene. And of course, there's just going to be indiscriminate killing and genocide. And there's just going to be it's going to be a police state, and everybody's going to be, you know, the you're not going to be able to say anything, do anything. Gays are going to be running for the hills. It was going to be ridiculous. And then, of course, what happens in the first year? The first year, I first thing I said when he wasn't able to get health care done, when he wasn't able to repeal Obamacare, when he wasn't able to do a few other things because of the dissent within his own party, I'm saying to myself, oh, you remember when that happened in Nazi Germany, when Hitler's own party defied him in Congress? Is everybody ever, I'm laughing to myself because nobody. And of course, this is why the first thing you need to do is destroy people's historical sensibilities. That's why nobody's able to even pick up the irony of it all. And they keep saying, oh, this is pure fascism. Well, then you're not reading anything and you're not thinking. I mean, you can probably come up with a couple. What are other ways, Tracy? We can probably make a nice list right now if we wanted to, or off air we can make a list of all of the ways the Republican Party has thwarted the agenda of Donald Trump up to this point. We can make a list.
Yeah, we could also make a list of how the Democrats are working against the fascists. You know, they're working against themselves by wanting to take away all of our guns.
Yeah. Oh, it's flipping. You can do it. It's amazing. It's amazing. But then again, you know what? Since we're talking about Democrats, Republicans, and the press and all this stuff, it really always just comes down to one thing for me. It's amazing how just 12 years ago, before the advent of Obama's presidency, everybody I knew in my life, in one way or another, had their own politics, but everybody was pretty kind of progressive in a social way. Everybody was just a lot more common sense, but very open socially. And the one thing that we all really agreed on, at least it seemed in my life, is that we should not trust anything that the television says. We should not trust anything that the government tells us, and that both parties are pretty much a reenactment of WWE. They're all on the same team, and to hell with all of them. You know, obviously, when every 4 years comes around, everybody pulls the lever for one color or another color, but you walk away from it, and we all agreed. These people are on the same page.
Who are these all people? I wish I would have known them all this time. Because I had a very select group of thousands that I was friends with, but I wish I was going to be in your group of thousands. Because
I don't know. Like I said, this is before Obama.
Yeah,
this is before Obama. Once Obama showed up, then everything changed. Everything changed. And then, of course, we had Trump, and everything changed even more. Now everybody is clutching to the very corporate. Everybody's supposedly rebels in some way, but they're clutching these corporate monstrosities. Anybody that goes out there and wears Nike as an act of rebellion after all these years of is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And now here we are. We're clutching our corporate teams and for Donald Trump to show up and have both parties and all networks fighting against him should have been enough for those common sense people from the 90s and early 2000s to see this and say,
No. That was all an act, too. Didn't you know those people that hung on to the two part, you know, the uniparty theory, the one that is the correct theory about corporate interests and politics and all the things we're talking about right now? Those people said that Trump was a very well thought out psyop to make people believe that he wasn't the
right
things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now 2 years into it, the daily crucifixion continues. His net worth has only gone down, and nobody like can somebody tell me what the payoff was
for him?
What's Trump's payoff at this point?
Oh,
what
God.
Did he get out of this?
Yeah. Yeah. There needed to be something, right? There needed to be something that he would get in return. I see nothing but strife and heartache. That's what I see.
Yeah.
You know. Listen, in terms of what this means today in Jim Acosta's press pass, which, first of all, how a judge has the right to order the White House to allow anybody inside of it is, I think, a constitutional challenge at its, on its face. You know, if the White House were to make the argument that they don't want Acosta in because of security reasons, what would the judge do then?
He physically struggled with a female White House staffer that was trying to do her job.
I know.
Just so that he can ask loaded. Well, listen, and here's another thing. At any time in our history, when the press has been allowed into the White House, since that became the norm, people from both parties, from all networks, they find ways to ask loaded questions to maybe sometimes create a story or get to the bottom of a story that they have been mulling over. But this is different. This is more than just loaded questions. For him, for Jim Acosta, first of all, this is what we were looking at, all the talk about the migrant horde that's coming our way, that now they're jumping over fences, just yep. like he said that they would never do. Mm-hmm. So now they're jumping over the fences like he said that they would never do just a couple of days later. And for him to ask this question, Mr. President, why do you call them an invasion force? They're not an invasion force. And he says, well, okay, well, I believe they are.
Well, he said we have a difference of opinion.
Difference of opinion. And then what does he do? He doesn't stop. He goes on to some ridiculous stance about how they're not an invasion force because they're over 100 miles away. Can you imagine telling the ancient Chinese that Genghis Khan is not going to try to invade the country because he's over 100 miles away? They're walking in that direction, but only until he's within 50 miles.
Never.
Oh, my God.
Or never.
100 miles. That's the prerequisite. That's not a press conference.
No, and the reason why he's done this before, it's not even that they revoked it because of the question. Like, he's trying to make some kind of a free speech argument, which is ridiculous. It's because he was belligerent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not for nothing, but OAN filed an amicus in support of the White House saying, you know, this man makes it so that the rest of the press and his colleagues can't ask questions that they need to ask to find out information. So he's in a deterrent to the press or a free press because of what he does. And he should have been admonished by his employer. I mean, what other job can you act that way and retain your position? If I were the owner or CEO or CFO of a company, and I physically touched any employee, whether it was a female or a male, who was looking to keep order in the room, I would be disciplined or fired.
All I know is that Jim Acosta this entire week has been home oiling his chest and bringing himself closer to climax with every time that his name was mentioned on television. That is all this guy cares about. He is a toad. He is a toad who needs to reevaluate his neck size on the shirts that he wears because his face is bulging. He's a fat mess. And the other thing is, too, I'm watching all this happening, and I'm saying to myself, well, you know what? There needs to at least be an agreement within the president's circle, whether it be Sarah Sanders or anybody else, to never take a question from him again. He wants to be in the room. He wants to flail around. Fine. Just never take a question from this idiot again.
I can guarantee you that's going to be the case. And I think the White House needs to appeal so that we don't set precedent because, you know, if you were an enemy and you were looking, like, couldn't you just embed a journalist and then use this as some sort of a way to get this horrible person inside the, like, couldn't that be, you know what I mean? It could be used for bad things. You know, that the White House is forced to allow a person inside with, you know, just because a judge orders it so. I mean, it's gross. And you know, by this logic, Frank, I have a right to a press pass.
Yeah.
Everybody has a right to a press pass if it's a right.
We all do.
You know, I don't get to go in there and ask the president a question directly, that's a limit on my free speech. Let me in.
Yeah, but you see here, Tracy, I covered this on, I think, Wednesday night. If you look back here and you say that Jim Acosta's First Amendment rights were violated because he was tossed out for acting like an asshole and not actually acting in a journalistic fashion, then every last one of us has a right to be in that room. But if you look even closer into the way that members of Congress themselves, like Chuck Schumer, like Dianne Feinstein, even like Lindsey Graham 1.0 used to say when he said the First Amendment is a great idea, but we're in a war here. Chuck Schumer and Dianne Feinstein, with that media shield legislation they were trying to push out there in 2013, they were trying. You remember Feinstein coming down on the hypothetical 17-year-old who drops out of high school and spends $5 on a website and calls themselves a journalist? She doesn't believe that that person who starts a blog and follows a passion should have the same kind of First Amendment protections to keep their sources private or anything like that as someone who's accredited like Jim Acosta.
But who's doing the accrediting? I mean, we can get
exactly.
In.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they talk about First Amendment, but at the same time, they want to limit the way that bloggers have access to the internet and have access to readers and have access to the same rights as all the people who go out there as their Praetorian Guard, like Jim Acosta and Jake Tapper and Wolf Blitzer and Shep Smith and all of them. This is not about freedom. This is about control.
It's about it's not that corporations are bad. Let's get that out of the way. What it is that the political machine has interwoven themselves inside of the media with dollars, with programs, with operations. Go back, you know, in time, the CIA has run operations using the media and entertainment. It's not a pure media anymore, or it hasn't been for a very long time. And like, I feel bad for the people who thought for some odd reason that Fox was actually unbiased and you know, straightforward. They've been controlled by the same money at the same, you know, they're accountable to who? The pharmaceutical industry, whoever pays their bills, whatever political party, it lines up with their agenda. It's a control mechanism. They control the information that gets spit out. And there is no better example of that than that Sinclair Media clip where the byline that's put out to everybody in the morning is filtered out like a drone reading off the same text to every single person in their journalistic monotone, you know, voice, you know, today, the same byline headline read off the same story covered the same exact way across the entire. I mean, it's scary.
You remember, and it happens much in the Sinclair Media thing was really, really astonishing. But it was funny because we've seen it in many other ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about just the president's inaugural address. These people speak in, you know how they, one of the rules for writing that I was given a long time ago was when it comes to alliteration, always avoid alliteration. Okay, you want to stay away from all the consecutive words that start with similar sounds or similar consonants or vowels, whatever the hell it is. What do we always see every time that a speech is given or anything like that? Everybody trots out the same old things. Inauguration Day, after the inauguration, the speech
dark
in 2017,
dark.
What did we hear? We heard it was dark, divisive.
Yeah, the same words.
Everything's dark, a dark day. Everybody latches on to the vocabulary that somebody sneezes out a word out there and everybody picks up the talking point. Everybody gets the buzzwords. These are all market tested words.
It wasn't a sneeze though. It was a plan. That's the thing. That's what makes it more nefarious. It was a plan. And you know, when you don't control, like just like your aunt's clip in the beginning of your show, which was one of the reasons why I'm like, I need to keep watching this dude. Like if a group of people, enough people get to the understanding that they're being controlled and that what they're being fed is a means to control them, then they'll rebel and something else will be born. And you just have to hope and pray that something else doesn't get corrupted like it always seems to by the people that will sell themselves out for money or power or whatever it is, which is why I think this new, I've been screaming at the end of my videos, like, even if it's not me, support really independent journalists. Like your like you say it every week, my bosses are the people that give me my Patreon money every week. You're then accountable to them directly for your mere survival. If you do the wrong thing, or if you become a fraud or a sellout, or if you report things incorrectly over and over, you're going to be held to account by the people that pay your salary.
Yep.
And those people happen to be citizens in the country who are looking for the truth. It's beautiful.
It's the on top of all that stuff, it's the free market. And the free market applies to information as well. You have your reputation and you need to work to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when I go live every night at 7 o'clock, I know I'm in direct competition with terrestrial radio, with SiriusXM. I'm in competition with other podcasts, with other live streams. I'm in direct competition with so many other mediums that people can go and choose to watch over me, which is why I don't ask for any special favors. I want to compete. I want to go out there and do what I have to do. And if you show yourself to be something worth watching or listening to, people are going to show up.
Yep.
And there's too much protection for old, just inefficient and corrupt institutions, our media, our schools, even things down to the FDA, the FTC.
Yep.
It's so much stuff. And you know what, Tracy, the big thing that I think is the message that I've been bringing this entire week is something that I know that you are, you know, facing every day behind the scenes as well. And that is keeping the faith. Now, there's so much going on and there's so many people who need to be not only locked away. I think that we need to start stripping people of citizenship and exiling them like Napoleon. I got to do a little bit of research on all the stuff that we were waiting around for, these indictments, the hammer to drop. You know, what's going on with the vote getting and the stealing of these elections locally. At this point, I don't even fully believe that we lost the House legitimately at this point.
No, we didn't. I don't think we did either.
But I'll tell you this one thing, Tracy. Always remember this when you feel down and when you feel frustrated, like you want to give up or you want to hit a wall or whatever. Never show your weakness, because the one thing we have now that we never had before is critical mass. I always try to tip my hat to all those truthers from the 1960s and 70s who smelled a rat with Kennedy, who smelled a rat all over the place with the military industrial complex in our shadow state.
They never gave up.
Never gave up, but they also had nobody that believed them.
Yep.
Think about all of the people right now. All the people right now who have arrived at the party, and we have this decentralized way of communicating with each other. We are much more dangerous than we ever have been.
Agreed.
Continue on.
So smart. Yes, absolutely. Because I keep saying the same thing to people too. If there's one glimmer of hope, Frank, it's that the critical mass, as you say, has grown exponentially in the past 3 years alone. Okay. Because I've been doing this, like I say all the time, for like a little over 18 years now. And I've seen so much in those 18 years. Yes, since I was really young, I was in my early 20s, almost 20 years old. I have seen so much change in that 20 years, and it seems like it goes slow, but you guys have no idea. The majority of the country is now awake, where in the past, it was like you said, nobody believed them. Like, I used to get spit on by people when I used to say some of the things. Literally, I've been spit on by people for saying things that are now accepted as truth and people are angry about. So when I started doing this in earnest and decided to dedicate my life to it, quite literally, even more so than I had been before, my goal was to be able to educate people on all of those things that have been glossed over, called conspiracy, not looked into, because there is a new group of people who need that knowledge to move forward. They have to have it. They have to understand that, well, maybe this isn't proven. Here's the background behind it and the government declassified documents that prove it. And, you know, just that bulk of information. And I haven't been able to focus as much as on that background as I have wanted to because of what we're dealing with in the now. But these people are primed and ready and need to learn so that we don't repeat this stuff over again.
Yeah. No, I'm 100% with you. That's why no matter what the hell it is, we just got to keep the pressure on. We've got to be calm, cool, and collected, because the moment, look at Europe. every, but look at Europe. You can go to individual nation states, if you even want to call them that anymore. They're just EU voting districts. Prime ministers and presidents out there are pretty much just governors for the EU now. But you just look at the EU. You know, with this Article 11 and Article 13, why do you think that they're going after your memes? Why do you think they're going after the way that we communicate with each other more effectively than anybody else out there has been doing? Because they want to be able to stem the tide of all that. They know how powerful this stuff is.
Yeah, they don't want people to understand what real freedom is. They don't want people to rebel against them. Like, their entire plan this entire time was for global government, just like we're seeing in Europe. I mean, that's what the United States was supposed to be cooperating in, and we were putting down the pieces to get there. And anybody who says that's a conspiracy need not look further than just the Paris Climate Accord, the TPP. You know, I mean, come on, people. Come on. For real. And we've moved back from that cliff a little bit. And it's up to us. No one's going to do this for us. We do not place our power in someone else's hands ever, even though we, quote, elect people to represent us. That doesn't mean that we just give up, we wipe our hands, we become apathetic. No, there is no other way to change it than other than it resting on our shoulders. And I completely agree with you on that.
Mm. Well, hey, you know, the funny thing about the Paris Climate Agreement, things like that, that since we left the Paris Climate Agreement, our country's carbon emissions have actually gone down another half percent point, and countries like the UK, and I forgot where else, they've seen decreases, but not nearly as much as the US. And not only that, places like Spain has skyrocketed. China, India, I think China has emitted 120 metric tons more than they did last year of CO2 since the U.S. left the climate agreement.
That's because we were supposed to pay for it all.
Yeah, well, they were never going to stop what they were doing. They were just going to take hundreds of billions of dollars of our money. They want to see us destroyed, yep. As you can see, because all these Chinese interests are not only in Hollywood and everywhere else, they're in our own Congress.
I know.
You know, we're not even talking about Dianne Feinstein. She had a 20-year mole driving her around and managing her office.
She knew about it.
Of course she knew. And so did Hillary when all of our assets out there in China were being killed.
Yeah, it's gross. And, you know, speaking of all this information, let's transition into Assange really quick. It'll probably be a little bit more of a lengthy discussion, but there was an accident in a filing unrelated to the Julian Assange at all, where it seems like an attorney accidentally slipped in some language that insinuated that Julian Assange has been indicted and the extradition was going in and all of that. And you know, the people that did that came out and said, no, this was a draft this was a draft that would never should have been in public at all. It was a huge mistake. We don't have an indictment against Julian Assange, which Julian Assange's attorneys confirm. But the fact that they're working on one, and I believe it's coming out of Mueller's office, is interesting. And it goes down to, you know, the freedom of the press and all of that. And I was a staunch... I use open source journalism every day to do what I do. And I believe that this pure information that exposes corruption is very important. There are people on both sides of the aisle who feel like it's dangerous and people can be killed because you don't understand what sources and methods you're exposing and you guess at it. And then there are people who say, to hell with it all, just release everything and let the people see. Frank, you were making a great point. What's different about what he's doing? Well, there's a difference, but what makes what the American press is doing any different? So go into that for us for a minute.
Well, when I was reading, I've only read a little bit of it, but, you know, just from what I've seen so far today, I'm thinking, I think it's so hilarious with Julian Assange. You have mainstream media that has pretty much relied solely, at least the last couple of years that we have been really honing in on their antics, the mainstream media has pretty much relied solely on leakers of confidential or classified material and anonymous sources who are familiar with the matters that they cover. I mean, if this is the standard that we are to be judging Julian Assange by, then people like Brian Ross and Rachel Maddow Ali Watkins, they should be shacked up in a foreign embassy somewhere with no one to comfort them but a cat. That's what should be going on.
It's a very fine line to walk. And, you know, we went over some theories about what this could mean and all of that. And, you know, I don't feel comfortable getting into them right now, to be honest, because I haven't thought through them enough. But it's interesting, especially woven into the Spygate theories that we've kind of put out there in regards to Warner and Waldman and the text messages and how Assange was involved in there, and the way that John Solomon reported that Jim Comey basically said, well, we're not going to work with you, Assange. Release the Vault 7 things. We don't care. I mean, that's how serious it was. So it's a debate that needs to be had. Whether or not the government's actually indicting him is a different story at this point, but obviously it sparked this free press access to information discussion.
I don't know how they indict Julian Assange and he doesn't destroy the entire reason for Mueller to exist. I don't understand how they could indict him in an effort to keep him silent. I don't understand how that goes anywhere, because then he would need evidence to show the contrary of what we know to be true.
Yeah. I mean, he has that. He's said it the entire time.
So I don't know how that could be a silencing tool. I think that would be unless the Mueller gray hat, white hat thing is still on the table. I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, not for nothing, but what does he have to lose at this point?
Assange? I would have been stir crazy after 6 months. After 6 months, I don't know how he went 6 years.
I mean, people make the argument he doesn't have to stay in there. He's doing it to himself. You know what I mean? Like, he could leave if he wanted to. He's not technically imprisoned. You know, the UN has made arguments in his favor that he's being treated inhumanely. He doesn't have access to medical care. He doesn't have access to his attorneys, all kinds of stuff. We'll just have to wait and see what happens here. And, you know, I went sour on Assange. You know, WikiLeaks, the whole ICE thing that they did, I didn't pin that on Assange because Assange had no contact with them and they were kind of working on their own. And then Assange came out through his attorney, apparently, and took responsibility for having them publish the information of the ICE agents, which I thought was completely antithetical to WikiLeaks' mission statement. Useless, a mere political action. You know, it was weaponized information, even though it was already publicly available to people. Culminating it together and then shining a spotlight on it, to me, was disgusting. And I took a lot of heat from people when I said, don't ever come to me asking me to support Julian Assange again, because this is disgusting what he's done here.
Yeah, I forgot about the doxing. I totally forgot about the doxing. It is a scar that does leave a scar on the face of it all. I can't have that discredit everything that came prior, but that was something I completely forgot about until you mentioned.
Yeah, it bothered me a lot. And people wrote articles about me saying how, you know, oh, trade it on her. Whatever. I don't care. You know, I'm going to be honest about how I feel. And that really bothered me a lot. So
it's more the whole absolutist thing. You can't be absolutist about anybody. I mean, especially since most things that we cover unless we're talking about deep space and we're talking about something that is occurring in nature, everything that we cover has to do with human beings and human behavior. And I mean, what is more imperfect than that?
Yeah.
So it's if you can't allow yourself to be responsibly critical about any of the subject matter that you support or don't support, then you set yourself up for credibility issues of your own.
You know, it's funny because I said yesterday, disinformation, even if it confirms your view on something or what you want to be true, is almost more dangerous than disinformation about something that you're not for. Do you understand what I mean?
Oh yeah. Well, it discredits it discredits your password. If you show that you are willing to go to that length to be right, then it makes people question everything that you might have done in the past. Have you been on the up and up the whole time? It doesn't look good.
No. And sometimes, you know, just because something makes you feel better doesn't make it true. And when it comes out to be false after it wasn't true in the first place, you have a millions of people who are pissed about something being false that was false the whole time. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's dangerous, and we need to be careful, because even though it'll, you know, the truth isn't always going to be rosy and positive. And we need to make sure that we're always looking for it either way. Like somebody said in a comment underneath that, you know, when I believe something, I scrutinize it three times as hard as when I don't, which I think is a good way to look at things. Because if, you know, for example, let's just bring one in here. Whitaker. Whitaker was involved on the board of directors of a company that was sued for false, you know, whatever they did, false advertising and kind of promising things to people that weren't on the up and up. And he was on the board of directors, and he wrote an email to one of the people complaining, of which we do not see the entire email chain, where he basically uses his former U.S. attorney title to threaten the guy into silence. Now, does that help or hurt our opinion of Matthew Whitaker on its face?
They hurt.
Do we ignore it just because it hurts?
No, shouldn't.
Right?
I didn't ignore Fourth Amendment, the Fourth Amendment downfalls of Brett Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh was not. See, here's this is what people don't get, and this is what I can't stand about our society right now. And it is mostly driven by the quantum mechanics. Okay, the quantum, what should I say, quantum physicians of the media, who are trying to create and project a reality into people's heads so that we can all manifest something awful. It's the thing I can't stand about all this is that there is definitely room to criticize President Trump. There is room to criticize Brett Kavanaugh, but we can't get around to that when the opposition is so unhinged that it forces you to take hard line stances and ignore things that we should be talking about in a more nuanced way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We couldn't even talk about Brett Kavanaugh in his views on the Fourth Amendment and in what kind of access police should have to mobile devices and all that stuff without search warrants or a little bit more blanket access to private portals into our lives. That should have been something we were talking about. Instead, we're talking about doom and gloom. We're talking about the reproductive rights of women, as if women don't have a choice to have a kid or not. I mean, I don't understand what the hell's. And then, of course, we had to go into 37-year-old accusations of sexual assault that went absolutely nowhere, but destroyed the country's psyche and morale for about 2 to 3 weeks. Same thing with President Trump. We have not been able to have a nuanced conversation of anything of substance because we're talking about KFC and scoops of ice cream and Diet Coke. It's unbelievable.
No, we're forced to defend it all because if we don't, we lose.
Right.
And
right.
It stops us from you know, critically evaluating most of this stuff. Like, we have to just put that stuff under the rug. Ah, it's not that bad because the rest of, you know, we need, it's really a not, it's where we're at right now and there's no way around it. But it's like the lesser of two evils argument in this election, which I can't take voting the lesser of two evils. If there's nothing else that Ron Paul taught me, it's don't accept the lesser of two evils, which is why third party votes screw everything up all the time, in quotes. So, you know, I mean, it's complicated. And this is where we're at. But like you said before, we have to stay focused and keep trying to work to change this stuff. Yeah. And karma works sometimes, Frank.
Oh, no, karma works very much so.
Like in the case of Michael Avenatti.
Oh, yes. Well, okay. Let's talk about Michael Avenatti and karma for a second. The reason why the world's elite in whatever industry that they dominate are able to do what they do and be so evil with almost impunity is because they understand karma. And the one thing that karma dictates is that deception, deception of people is something that is going to get you hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, a vampire can only enter your house if you invite them in. So the vampire needs to find a way to lure you into inviting them in. When you turn on your television or you go to a movie and you see the story that Hollywood is telling you, they're usually giving you ideas about what is happening to you, what is being done to you and the world, in a very nuanced way, so that it actually is a check against karma. See, we told them, we warned them, they didn't get the signs, they thought it was just all fiction, but we did tell them. The same thing applies to Michael Avenatti. This is a guy who was deceiving people for television time, deceiving people to enrich himself, and he's getting what he deserved.
I mean, even if, you know, I think that if he ends up being innocent of this in some way, that's even more of a kind of F you from the universe, right?
No. In fact, it wouldn't be as pure of an F you if he
wasn't
it innocent.
Yep.
Okay. If he is innocent, then that is just purely what is going on here, because now he's telling everybody, you got to believe me. You told us not to believe Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, I mean, it's just poetic, and how quickly it happened was really amazing. Regardless of whether or not somebody, see, it's interesting how the universe works. Regardless of whether or not it was somebody else that called in something fake that then went on to get something, prompted that person to do that. And it was the universal wheel of how things work. It's the universal wheel of karma. It happens. What you put out, you get back. If everybody would just live by that rule, how beautiful of a place we would have.
It would be beautiful if people held each other to that standard. But it works no matter what. It works no matter what. And that's a big reason why I think that what we're doing right now on a larger scale is great, because we are getting people to manifest differently.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you know, there are magicians in the media and in Hollywood that are planting seeds that create self-fulfilling prophecies into the minds of people like you and I, who are very, very powerful energetically. And when we put our power together to manifest something, it can be unbelievably fruitful. It could also be unbelievably tragic and dangerous if we are all concentrating on manifesting something that's awful.
Yeah, we've had this conversation, Frank, a long time, even before we started the show together. We had a conversation about this and how it all works, and we're both on the same page with it. And you're right. And that's why I've been trying so hard these past couple of days to get out of this damn funk, because it's bad. It's bad all around for, you know what I mean? It's not helpful at all.
I know, but we're also human, and none of us should beat ourselves up when we see that not enough is happening, and that there's a lot of injustice going on, and the frustration is not something to be afraid of. But you got to hit the bag a little bit, as I like to say. If you get frustrated, you got to go and just kick and punch something, get a workout in, put on some really aggressive music. In fact, what I like to do is, depending on how you're feeling, what I always say is this, and I learned this over the long term, you got to climb the emotional ladder. So the first point here is, if you feel sad or depressed, that is one of those feelings that you know is just hopeless. There is nothing there. You are a void. So the first thing you got to do is get to a negative energy that is at least powerful. So go from depression, find a way to get yourself to anger first. Okay. At least there's some power there.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then from there, I like to prescribe music to people, and like energies work. When you're depressed, listen to depressing music for a little bit. I always give people Type O Negative to listen to. And then when you get a little bit more up, you're a little bit more, okay, there are people out there who feel like I do. Then we can get into Metallica, some Pantera, get aggressive, whatever. And then, of course, by the end of the week, you're dancing. You got the techno on. It feels great.
You
got
to work your way through those emotions like a 7-step program.
You have to climb the emotional ladder, depression being the bottom of the pit.
Grief,
but you got to get yourself to anger first.
Yeah, you're right. I think you've been listening to one of my favorites in your spare time. I'll have to ask you about that off air.
Okay.
Yeah, really, really good. What's next, Frank? What's next? I had something else that I wanted to talk to you about here. We have Avenatti. We talked about him. We had Acosta. We talked about him. Oh, let's talk about the Florida recount and how the Democrats legitimately cheated, and now it's out in the open because their emails are out there for everyone to see. Do you know about this?
Are you talking about what do I have here? It's from yesterday. Shite. Go into it. I don't have the thing.
The curing votes, how they were supposed to, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're from the Naples time or something like that? Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so basically, they changed the dates on all these ballots, and before the lawsuits were filed, they're pushing these things out for people to, you know, basically fraud. I mean, plain and simple. Even people inside the Democrat Party in Florida were saying, this is not okay. You guys shouldn't be doing this. And they said, F that. Forget you guys. We're doing it anyway. And the emails leaked, and now there's proof of it. And what I found really interesting was during the recount, you're laughing. Explain why.
Yes, this is great. I love when people shit in their pants and they're trying. You know, this is almost like me in the YMCA a couple of years ago when I went to go train a client. And I knew I should have had a little something more to eat that morning than a protein shake and my fish oil, because I went to go fart. Yeah, and I shit my pants, and I couldn't tell my client, and I said, you know what, I got to go to the bathroom real quick, and I waddled my way downstairs down the hallway, and I had to throw my underwear out.
Wow.
Only thing is that they're not going to be able to throw their underwear out pretty well. I was able to get away from it. They're not going to be able to.
Okay.
Can you edit any of that out,
Tracy? I can do whatever you'd like.
Whatever.
Do you want me to edit it? You've told that story on your own show.
I know. Go ahead. Just keep going.
And you know, for all we know, it's not even true.
No, it's true. Let's go back to Florida. It's actually not the first time. Back to Florida.
I still think you're great. So basically, like, what I found interesting was they submitted. So they did the recount, and then it was due to be submitted at 3:00. They submitted it at 3:02. Of course, the recount found more votes for the Republicans. And then the judge said, nope, those don't count. Those late votes don't count. But all the 80,000 that they found last week late, those are all great. Just put them on in. What the frig is happening?
I don't know.
These people need to be in jail, Frank.
Yep, all of them.
I'm tired of people saying she needs to resign. She needs to be led away in handcuffs. Just, she reminds me of, I think it was Sheila Jackson Lee, when she snuck up to the attorney during Ford's testimony and slipped the envelope and then, like, looked like the spy versus spy character, like, sneaking away.
Yeah.
This is the look that this woman has. Put her in jail.
Put her in jail. And you want to know the other thing, too. You want to talk about ignoring nuance to be able to take a, you know, because it's either us, it's, you know, it's either we win or we lose. One of those things around this is that, you know, I've, you know, friends of ours have been very adamant in saying, wow, the DHS really dropped the ball on this. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling myself, you know, I hate that we're even talking about this, because I'm not comfortable with Department. First of all, I'm not comfortable with Department of Homeland Security even existing.
Oh, my God. I love you.
But the fact that we want to put them that was a Jay Johnson.
Yep.
Jay Johnson and Barack Obama idea to put the federal government in charge of elections.
Very
I don't
dangerous.
Want that to happen.
Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, here we are, like, what is going to be the check against these people then? They do not care. All they are concerned about is what they can get away with. They don't care about illegality of any kind.
No, they don't, because they're never held accountable for it. And look, I don't know how many times over the past week I have seen people sharing the story of the Battle of Athens. Scary.
Battle of Athens is a great, great story. Everybody should check that out. I think that was in August of what, 1947?
Yep. Yep. And it's what people are talking about. People are talking about it. Say what you will about it, but people are talking about it because we don't have any other recourse. Nobody's doing anything about this.
You know what? I'm going to bring it up again. I bring it up every August when I can. But now that the election is over and we're seeing what's actually happened, I think I should bring it up again on Monday. That'd be really interesting.
You would do a fantastic job with that. I know you would.
I love reading.
I enjoyed listening to you read last night, actually.
With which topic?
I came in the middle. It was like the prophecy sort of thing that you were reading.
Oh, yeah. That is another thing. Where do I have it up over here?
Was it the sisters? Was that what you were reading that wrote the letters?
No, it is. Hold on. I'm trying to see where the hell it is. It was the. Oof. Here it is, Prophecy of Our Lady of Good Success, about the 19th and 20th centuries and what would happen and all that. My buddy Brian sent this to me, and he's very into all of this stuff, and he's very astute in this area, and he sent it to me, and wow, unbelievable. And we also had some pretty good reading at the end of the show too last night on Calvin Coolidge. So I've been trying to give Cal a little bit more attention the last couple of weeks, because he's one of those great, great American presidents, especially in the last 118 years. That's he's at the top of the list.
That's amazing. I've never, you know, that's great that you're doing that.
Oh, yeah.
I have two things here, Frank. One of them is I'm on this article about how there was a closed door fight with veteran lawmakers over climate change, which Ocasio-Cortez kind of led. Two things from this. Number one, she promised her constituents that she would fight for a, quote, Green New Deal. And she sure as hell is, which is, I guess, principles. You know, one thing about progressives, I got to be honest, when they say something, they mean it. They're not flip-flopping Democrat. You know what I mean? They for the most part, they have integrity, whether what they're believing is good or not.
Well, it's easy to do. It's either you write your letter to Santa Claus and you get everything that you want, or you write your letter to Santa Claus and you can complain that you know, somebody else held it from you, or the world's not fair and this was the way it was supposed to be. You're talking about the mentality that a five-year-old brings into everyday life. So I you have to give them credit, yeah, but you know.
Listen, for the most part, the progressives that I've come to know well, who have been kind of converted but not 100%, and still kind of cling on to some of their crazy, in my opinion, crazy ideas about government and how it should work, are really people who live their lives with integrity. These are the people I'm talking about, who believe in truth in terms of like justice, and they're just misguided on what the role of government should be. So I say, let's band with those people who want justice and then teach them what the role of government should be. But in Ocasio-Cortez's case here, she makes a point to say over and over, I promised these people this is what I would do. So I have to do it, which is interesting. And what they're doing, these new progressives in Congress that haven't been inaugurated yet, they're causing a big problem, because the wishy-washy play the establishment rules, you know, whatever it takes to get you to move forward, sell your soul to the devil Democrats who have been in Congress for decades are doing battle with these new people that really don't even know civics. And are charging their way in, demanding things that are just, it's just not the way it works. It's almost like as if a 20-year-old was elected as a CEO of a company. They come in and they're like, all right, from now on, we're having, you know, they change the way the company works, and it fails miserably because there's no process. You don't understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. It's one thing for somebody to vote for a GOP candidate and be duped by the GOP candidate who says that they want to restore constitutional order. It's another thing to be duped by people like Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi, who were running on abolishing ICE and impeachment of the president and have now completely backed off of it now that they won the House back. I mean, to think about the people that signed on for those destructive ideas, and for them to feel like, oh, man, to realize they got coal in their stocking, and the coal in their stocking was that the country wasn't going to be destroyed, you know, and so that's interesting. But as far as you were saying on progressives on the state level, yeah, the big problem I always have is because when I crack a lot of jokes and I go after people, I know that it leaves me open for criticism on the way that I'm kind of isolating people and just coming down too hard on people who are center left, when I always have to try to come back around to say it's, like you said, not the people. Progressivism is constitutional on a state level. I mean, what we need to tell people who are a little bit more center left and progressive is that they need to get more locally active on a state level. They need to start talking a little bit more and learning a little bit more about money, what the state's money situation is, because you can only work from money that can be generated in state.
Yes.
The other thing you have to start working on is the power of persuasion. You got to be able to persuade people that this is a good idea. And if the idea does not work out the way that you think it is, you have to be able to admit defeat. They don't do this.
Yeah, but I think that once they really understand how the money works, if they take the time to do it, the next step just doesn't happen.
That's the natural deterrent, because if it's going to fail on a state level, then it's definitely going to fail on a federal level. And if you're going to do something locally and have it fail, it's better to have to try to repair a local economy than have nowhere else to run when you destroy the entire country.
Yeah. 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 The other article on this page outside of that was an interesting one that says the anatomy of a conspiracy theory. It's by Keith Clor, and it just came out today, and it says, credible sources say the Las Vegas shooting was a one-man job, but a small band of former government insiders is propagating a wild alternative theory with dangerous consequences.
Oh, yeah. What is dangerous? Ooh, it should be. Should be dangerous for a lot of people out there. You have a guy that has enough guns in the room to arm a medium-sized militia in South America with how many dozens of pounds of explosives in the car. There was something else going on there.
Yeah, I think everybody knows that. So I'm going to put this article down in the notes so that you guys can take a read at it. It's pretty long. It's a couple thousand words, easy. You know, I'm from what I'm seeing, they're not really going so far as to really prove that it can't be true, because they can't prove that it can't be true. I mean, I did an interview yesterday, I talked about Las Vegas again. And my thing was Renee Downs, the woman I interviewed who was at the Bellagio, whose husband was high up in the military, served several tours, knows what gunshots sound like, knows what they feel like, and was in the lobby of that hotel and needed to jump on top of his wife to shield her from what he knew were gunshots inside. Shattered and broken glass everywhere, and then the next day being told nothing happened here, just like that by management. So we'll end with that, Frank. What do you say?
I think this was good. I feel like I got a lot out of my system, because I'm not gonna be able to do it tonight.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I agree with you. It was a good show. It was.
You have no clue how much this show has fit so nicely into my life and my schedule, and it has really become a compliment. I'm so happy that we do this every week.
Me too. It's good. It's like a little roundup. We get to kind of share our thoughts and opinions. You know, you always said people get to know me a little bit differently because I don't usually like share my feelings often. I have been lately, Frank, a lot.
Oh, good.
People like it. People like hearing my opinion.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I think it's very good when people are get to connect with you personally in any kind of way that you feel is appropriate to share. It opens them up and it relaxes them. And, you know, there's a little bit more humanity there. So you don't think that you're being you know, dictated to or anything like that. So I think that this has been good for both of us.
I agree. And Helga loves it, too.
Helga was great. She got great reviews last week, huh?
You know, she was so excited and she felt so happy afterwards. She listened to it again and she was like laughing. My dad loved it. He was hysterical. I think she did good for sitting here for an hour listening to us talk about politics.
Yeah, no, and you can tell she was engaged mentally too, because when it was time for her to speak, she executed very quickly.
Yeah, she's a smart cookie. She really is. It's almost dangerous, to be honest.
It's good. We need to. We have to prepare the next generation now.
Russian Americans unite.
That's it.
Listen, thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of the Dark to Light podcast with.
What did I call? Oh, snowed in. All snowed in.
And beans. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com. Have a great weekend, guys.
This is a Jim Fannin Show Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
We need the leaders of our country to be in the zone. And let's really talk about who that is. Mom, dad, you're a dad. You're a leader of the future of our country. And mom, dad, we need to get in the zone. Who else are the influencers? And this is more than politics, much more than that. And I'm talking local, state, federal. This is much more than that. We need to be in the zone with the leaders in the small businesses in our country and also the captains of industry of some major internationals that influence everything. Because, you know, one person may oversee 25,000 people. I've coached a lot of CEOs and their employees, 25,000 people, and stress runs downhill. It doesn't run uphill. It runs downhill. So leaders, moms, dad, we need to really weigh our words. We need to say what we mean. We need to mean what we say. And we need to have the vocabulary that can facilitate the zone in our children, in our students at school, teachers of all types and coaches of all types, very influential in helping someone attract the zone state.
The Jim Fannin Show can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.